Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Leslie put people at the heart of everything they create.
With my team at Comcast, we developed the Xfinity Voice Remote and tested it to recognize different types of accents, inflections, and languages.
New movies?
Movies for kids.
Películas para las familias.
Now 40 million voice commands a day are heard by the Xfinity Voice Remote. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Chris, money keeps coming up when we talk about the Late Late Show. How much is the host paid? Is he worth it? How much money does it bring in for RT? Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea are with us. And Elaine, I have to say, I didn't actually think of the return of the Late Late Show until I saw Patrick Keelty popping up in all of the newspapers over the weekend, various interviews promoting the return for what would be the difficult second season.
Yes, absolutely. Patrick has been a busy man. If you Google his name today or The Late Late Show, you'll find he was doing a lot of interviews. There's barely a publication that hasn't featured some kind of quote from him. And they're promoting the new show as well with this reel with him having a conversation with the owl from the iconic opening. And they're not revealing too much, as they don't tend to do. But they have an inauspicious date of starting back. It's Friday the 13th. So, he's got his difficult second album and he's got it starting on Friday the 13th. So a bit of a threat there from probably.
Yeah, I'm doing Pat to Power podcast live on Friday, September 13th in the Opera House in Cork. I'm worried about the date of that as well. I wonder though, Joe O'Shea, are they going to change things this year? Or have they decided that the first year's format worked and we'll just do that again?
Well, in terms of viewers, he actually did better in his first year than Ryan Tubridy did in his last year. Now, obviously, the very first night that Keelty was on, at one stage he had 930,000 Irish people watching the show, and I suppose that was with all the hype around it and Tubridy leaving as he did and all that kind of stuff. But actually, when he got into mid to end series, he was bringing in about 425 to 450,000 viewers for each episode, and that was above the kind of average that Tubridy was doing in his final year, which was around 350,000. So Keelty, in pure kind of ratings terms, has done very well. One, there's some interesting things about the Late Late Show this time around. Now they're talking about going on the road, taking it outside Dublin, which I think would be a really, really good move. It's a bit complicated and a bit expensive, but definitely if they could get outside Dublin, I think that would really, really work well for them. And also, this is probably the last year that it's going to be done in-house by RTE, because Kevin Backer said that they're going to, it's one of the shows that they're going to do off campus and maybe give out to an independent production company in 2026. So I think it's a fascinating year, because there is, of course, will Keelty kind of continue his momentum? Will he continue to kind of be as popular as he has proved to be?
Has the show changed much? I have to admit, I saw very little of it last year, so I couldn't offer an opinion on it, Elaine.
Yeah, I would have only seen, say, I would have watched back a couple of interviews that piqued my interest in the aftermath when they got coverage or whatever. But I'm not someone who watches chat shows regularly anyway. I think the only one that I've seen a good few episodes of is the Tommy Tiernan show, and it's because that has a different format. But obviously, chat shows do work, and they did change it up slightly with this kind of coupling of guests on the couch at the same time, which has been done on other shows as well. Graham Norton famously does it, and Patrick has spoken about in those interviews about how he thinks that format really did work and got some interesting dynamics going on. So they've shown that we are a safe pair of hands, but also willing to experiment with season one. And I think he will probably try and push that a bit further now in the second.
Actually, Joe, I ran into Conor Moore, the impressionist and comedian, at the match on Saturday, and I was chatting to him. And we weren't talking about the Late Late Show, but he said something very interesting about chat shows in general, in that he said YouTube has changed it from everyone. The guys like the Richard Harrises and various others who would have been staples of the chat show circuit in America generations ago got away with it because they could tell their stories in one location, tell them somewhere else, and they had a small number of stories that they told many times to different audiences. Whereas now if you tell a story once, suddenly it goes up as a clip on social media and you actually can't tell it again.
Well, that's a huge problem for comedians as well. Because
I think that was also, he mentioned that.
Yeah, it's a massive problem with comedians because people record their shows on their phones and then put them on YouTube. Yeah, I mean, like the days of Peter Ustinov, you know, telling the same four stories on different shows on either side of the Atlantic, they're long gone. One thing that the Late Late Show could do is be a bit more adventurous with their guests. I remember we talked about it last year before the first episode, and we talked about names like Kneecap, and at the time Rashida Adeleke, and this is before the Olympics. And I think if they had, Kneecap did actually make it onto the show, but only after kind of they kind of blew up then, you know. And they can be, you could see them, both of those people, as examples of coming forces in pop culture in Ireland, and, you know, and people that would be interested in. Now, I expect them to kind of come back with some of the Olympic heroes on the very first episode, but if they could get ahead of the game, that would be really interesting as well. I think it would really pay off for Keelty in the long run.
A listener says Ryan Tubridy wanted to take the Late Late Show on the road, but RT said no to him. Wasn't aware of that. Okay, picks of the week before we get on to other things. What's your pick?
Mine is a 20-year-old show that is being rebroadcast for the BBC for the first time in that, like, 20 years, called The Project. And it's a fictional imagining of MPs and Labour activists in the lead-up to Labour's 1997 UK election win. But it's based off of interviews with over 100 advisors and MPs, and it seems to have taken a lot of inspiration from real life, and it depicts some so-called dirty tactics, including like sifting through bins for some compromising material.
I think we have a clip from it.
Enjoyed yourself?
Yeah. He didn't really vote to legalise drugs, did he?
It's a game, Paul. We have to win. Every Lib Dem vote is a wasted vote. Another election?
No, of course not.
So you're going to come work for me?
I can't, I'm working for Stanley.
The art of politics is known when to move on.
Who's in this?
Now, that voice you heard there playing Paul was Matthew McFadden, the little priming ground for his role in Succession as Tom Wamsgans, the show seems to have been. And they've also got in the other lead role, Naomi Harris, who's now an Oscar winner, or an Oscar nominee, I should say, sorry, for Moonlight. So the cast and even the director is Peter Kosminski, who's done Wolf Hall since. So 20 years ago, they weren't as well known as they are now. So it's really interesting to see this kind of training ground for them. And also, it's meant to be a really good show. It is in two parts, airing on BBC 4 this Sunday from 10:20. There's an introduction from the director before that, if you want to check that out. But it's long. They're two feature-length episodes, nearly 2 hours long each. So something to set your DVR for and then dive into afterwards, maybe.
Okay, Joe, you have a couple of picks for us. Tell us about Night Sleeper.
Yeah, Night Sleeper. There's a load of big new dramas coming, and you might miss some in the blizzard of new dramas across all the stations. This is on BBC One next Sunday at 9 p.m. and I think people really want to mark their cards on this. This is being billed as possibly the biggest new drama on the BBC this year, and maybe for some time. It's, do you remember 24 with Kiefer Sutherland?
You know, loved it. I used to love it.
Brilliant. I loved it. This is kind of in that way. This is 6 one-hour episodes, all done in real time. And it's a great premise. There's an overnight train going from Glasgow to London, a sleeper train, hence Night Sleeper. And it's been taken over. It's been hack-jacked, apparently, by outside forces who've basically neutralised the driver, and they've got this train hurtling through the night from Glasgow to London. And there's a guy on board who just happens to be an anti-terrorist guy on board, and there just happens to be a cyber crime expert on board. And it's basically 6 one-hour episodes, and they're trying to stop this train, to find out who's hijacked the train and all that kind of stuff. And apparently it's got, from the people who've seen it, and I haven't seen it, it's got really, really good reviews. So it's Night Sleeper next Sunday night, BBC One, 9 p.m.
Now, you have another pick, and I think Elaine has also seen a bit of this. You've gone for Chaos, Joe.
Yeah, Chaos. I mean, God, did you ever watch a show and go, what the hell is this and what's going on? But it's brilliant. This is on Netflix, and it just came last week. And again, could be one that maybe people miss. Jeff Goldblum plays Zeus, the father of the gods, except he's playing it as sort of a semi-retired loose Hollywood producer living this amazing, you know, kind of estate in the sky. And it's very hard to describe it, but basically it's sort of a modern morality play, comedy, drama, based on the classic story of the Greek gods, except set in today's world. It's very hard to describe, Matt, but it really is worth watching, because you won't see a crazier, more inventive and brilliantly scripted show on TV, I think, for months.
Let's hear a clip from it.
Mortals,
I made you, and this is how you repay me.
Really, we're meant to be together.
Stay here.
Well, what?
Leave him.
We need to make destruction really sing.
Dad, some humans are nice.
They don't matter.
I defy the gods.
You're where you belong, down in the dark.
You've had a look at it as well, Elaine, haven't you?
Yeah, I've watched one episode and I'll definitely be going back to it. And I think it's like, it's very glossy as a TV show. And Jeff Goldblum is perfectly cast as that modern day Zeus, like kind of egotistical maniac as well. And I just think we're getting into that season now. It's going to be dark and gloomy. And a lot of the programming that's being announced for autumn is dark and gloomy. It's all crime dramas, this and that. So this is a nice antidote, I think, to that, to have as a little
Oh, but this listener here texts and says, do not go near chaos, pure crap.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, it's not going to be for everyone. But I do think if you want a bit of frothiness, and it is fun, I will say. And it's got some unexpected twists and turns, I will say, even in the first episode.
I wasn't here last Monday because I had a family event I had to be at, but I think you did recommend, did you, Perfect
Couple? It was actually, Ashling was on Monday. I wasn't here either, but she did recommend The Perfect Couple, and I need to check that out myself. They've got a fun dance you can set to start that some people are going to hate, but I will love it.
I'm three episodes into it, and it's light and frothy, and it's very enjoyable. Very, very enjoyable. One other thing I want to talk to you about, Joe, are we finished, do you think, with these Powerful Cars type series that we have? I think Top Gear and the BBC is in big trouble over safety issues in relation to Freddie Flintoff, and the Grand Tour also with Jeremy Clarkson, Richard Hammond, that seems to be done as well, is it?
Yeah, that's gone. I mean, Grand Tour kind of came to a natural end, and the three guys are walking away from it because I think they've kind of accepted it has come to a natural end. Interestingly, Richard Hammond is talking about that it could go on with new presenters, just as they tried to do with Top Gear. But we know what happened to Top Gear. And actually, one of the former presenters from Top Gear, Chris Harris, I think his name is, he came out this week, and I think just today, and was talking about what he warned, because he's a former motor racing driver. He knows his stuff. He said he went to the BBC bosses and said to them several months before Freddie Flintoff's terrible accident, he said, we need to stop doing these things because somebody is going to get seriously injured. And that's what happened. So these are very expensive shows to do, very difficult to do, and we know now, very, very dangerous. So Top Gear, gone forever, probably. Grand Tour maybe will live on.
You any interest in these programmes, Elaine?
No, I couldn't even, like, when people tell me what kind of car they're driving, I'm like, tell me what colour it is. I don't know what that means. Like, I have zero interest in wheels and that. But, like, obviously these shows have had an audience and an enduring audience for a really long time. Like, the guys from Top Gear, it's, I think, all together, is it 26 years that they've been doing Top Gear, and then the Grand Tour, probably even a bit longer than that. And then obviously Top Gear did try to continue on in its new fashion. And even before the disasters that befell the show, like, I don't think it was drawn in the numbers that trio drew in by any stretch. So it does seem to be that it was actually kind of the dynamic between Hammond and Clarkson and May, is that the third guy? I don't even know the host's names. but like, their dynamic was obviously key to that show as well.
Yeah, but Clarkson's Farm is his biggest TV hit of all time. So why would Jeremy Clarkson need to go back to this? He's massively popular now with Clarkson's Farm. It's been a huge hit. So,
and isn't he actually a much more enjoyable character on it than the sort of the
far better
than the character he plays on the motor racing stuff or whatever it is, the car stuff?
Yeah, far better. He's a revelation on Clarkson's Farm. I mean, you would actually I'd watch him on that. I've been watching it.
Lots of people find it really enjoyable. Like,
and I tell you, it makes it sympathetic to farmers as well, wouldn't it? I mean, it's a bloody tough life.
Yeah, I think he really portrays that well.
But maybe we should get Jeremy Clarkson on with John Gibbons to debate farming some night. That'd be fun. I must put that in the bucket list for the producers. Anyway, thank you very much, Joe Shea and Elaine Burke.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Kunle put people at the heart of everything they create.
The way that I approach work post-fatherhood has really been trying to understand the generation that we're building devices for. Here at the Comcast family, we're building an integrated in-home Wi-Fi solution for millions of families like my own.
Now millions of families can work, learn, and play together under one roof. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.